the father of the owner of the cell phone that was left in my office did call me back. Sure enough, his son admitted to having done it. He's the one that stole my laptop all along. The father asked me if he could come by this past Monday with his son so that I can speak to him. To be honest, I didn't really know at the time if it was really my place to do that, to take the law in my own hands. Maybe the detective from the 100th precinct should be involved, and I could just be completely silent. After all, I was going to get a replacement laptop anyway through a grant that I had. I thought about it and found the answer in this week's Parsha. The graphic story of Pinchas and what he did to those two individuals really is found at the end of last week's Parsha, in Parsha's Balak. The Torah tells us, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, that Pinchas, he saw something. Vayakom mitocho eda, vayikach romach biyadai. And he stood up from amid the assembly and took a spear in his hand. Vayavu achar ish Yisrael el hakuba, vayidkar es shnehem es ish Yisrael v'es isha el kavata, v'yatiyatzer hamagefa mi'al b'nei Yisrael. He followed the man into the tent and he pierced them both with his spear, the man and the woman. And the Magefa, the plague, was halted from among the B'nai Israel, the Jewish people. We learn out from this story that his actions, the actions of Pinchas, the message, the principle of Kenoyim Poginbo, a zealous one may slay him. Pinchas was the paradigm of the Jewish zealot. But how could he do this? To act as a vigilante? Isn't there a judicial system, a court of law, that would determine such a capital offense? Wasn't Pinchas wrong for taking the law into his own hands? Wouldn't it have been better for him to be silent, done nothing? Chazal teach us that when mentioning an individual's names, we generally quote the parent. For example, by Amisha Berach, we mention the mother's name, but not a grandparent. But over here, we do exactly that. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. Why do we mention his grandfather, a man who loved peace? What does this double homicide have anything to do with the peaceful approach of an Aharon HaKohen? In truth, the Mishnah in Perkei Avos records and says that Aharon HaKohen was more than a man that loved peace. He was a Rodev Shalom, a pursuer of peace. When I think of someone in pursuit of someone or something, I envision an act of perpetual motion, constant movement, being proactive. You see, Aharon, being a man of peace, wasn't always an easy task. Sometimes he needed to be a Rodev Shalom. He would have to go after it with all of his energy, with all of his resources. Aharon, as the Mishnah is defining, that peace is a pursuit. It's a Rodev. And therefore, an individual who sits back in the privacy of his own home, ignoring all the problems nearby, is not living a life of peace. They're living a delusional life, a life of ignorance. Clearly doing nothing in the face of tragedy is unacceptable. We find this behavior by Iyuv, Job, that he was consulted by Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, what to do with the B'nai Israel, the Jewish people. And in this assembly was a man by the name of Bilam. And of course he said, Bilam HaRasha, get rid of them, enslave them, make their lives miserable. Eve sat there, said nothing, did nothing. Eve was punished, which clearly shows that you can't just sit there and do nothing. Eve, for not feeling the pain, the potential anguish and sorrow of the Jewish nation, was punished quid pro quo, mita keneged mita, enduring tremendous pain and affliction of his own, pain that he and no one else would ever be able to feel. As we're in the period of the 3 weeks between Shiva Subra Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, we often hear the famous story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. The Gemara in Gittin tells us that Hu Gavra, there was an individual that had a very good friend. His name was Kamsa. He also had an enemy, someone he despised, he did not like. He had a very similar name to his friend. His name was Bar Kamsa. This man was throwing a lavish feast, a tremendous banquet. And he turned to his servant, his messenger, and said, I want you to invite my dear friend. Please invite Kamsa. The messenger misheard, he didn't understand correctly, and he invited Bar Kamsa. Bar Kamsa was thrilled. He thought, you know, maybe finally this man wants to become my friend again. He wants to clear the air. And now he's inviting me to his parties. So he went. And when Hu Gavra saw him, he was furious. He said, what are you doing here? You're my enemy. Get out. He said, listen, this is a huge party. There's many people here. I'll stand in one corner. I'll have my back facing you. You won't even be able to look at me. Don't worry. Any food that I have, an hors d'oeuvre, any food, any cocktails, I'll pay for. You will incur no loss by me being here. Omer lei lo. He said, no, leave. So 1 second. This party cost you thousands of dollars. I'll pay for half of your meal. Isn't it worth it for me to stay? Omer lei lo. No. I'll pay for everything. The entire banquet. The entire feast. Just please. Don't humiliate me. Don't make me leave this party. Omer lei lo. Absolutely not. And the Gemara says that he physically grabbed hold of him and threw him out of this party, where many distinguished leaders and scholars and rabbis were present. We hear this Gemara. One has to ask, who was at fault in this story? Who was the guilty party? Was it the messenger who made the mistake? Was it the host? No. The Gemara gives us the answer. Bar Kamsa said, Ho'il v'havi yasme rabbanon v'l'machube. There were rabbanon, there were rabbis that watched this entire conversation unfold before them. V'l'machube, they said nothing. They did not rebuke, they just sat back. Shema mino kanichlahu. It's clear that they were happy. They agreed that I should be thrown out. And the Gemara says he went and slandered the Jewish people in front of the king. And for this story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, Chor of Yerushalayim, the downfall, the destruction of Yerushalayim. The Gemara is clear. It was the rabbis, the Rabbanon who were present, that saw what was going on and they said nothing. We clearly see that saying and doing nothing does not promote or create peace. Akam sabar kam sechor of Yerushalayim. Instead, you become part of the problem. The Mishnah says, "Havi mitalmidav shel Aharon." Aharon was never silent. I could guarantee that if Aharon HaKohen was at that party, in the presence of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, he would not have remained silent. Aharon would have been a rodef. He would have done everything necessary to reach the final goal of peace. And this midah was found in the DNA of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. To sit back with blindfolders, with 24,000 Jews dying of a plague, to Pinchas, that was not an option. Rather, the Torah says, Vayar Pinchas, he saw that there was a problem, there was an issue. Vayakam. And he got up. He did something about it. How many of us here today have this midah of Pinchas, of Aharon? Kenoyim Poginbo. How many of us use our energy and are passionate about things which are not so important to be passionate about? And how many of us are outraged of what's happening with the captured Israeli soldiers? Every Shabbos, we pray for their return so that we should never forget that they're still in captivity. But a year later, do we still feel it? Or are we becoming a bit desensitized? Vayar, we see also, but are we vayakam? Are we getting up and taking a stand? Most of you are aware of the contents of the following article, but it is certainly worthwhile sharing it with you again today. Plans for the Free the Soldiers rally in New York City on July 16, 2007 are moving ahead expeditiously. This rally will mark the first anniversary of the kidnapping of Gilad Shalit, Ehud Goldwasser, and Eldad Regev. Your organization has an especially important role in making this gathering a success. Because of the limited time, we hope you will begin immediately to mobilize your membership in the New York area and across the Northeast. We are gathering across from the United Nations to speak our unified message, demanding the release of Israeli hostages, Shalit, Goldwasser, Regev, and the other MIAs. The message of our parsha, just like Pinchas, is that we need to show some more emotion. We need to show some more passion and take action. To do nothing like an Eov or like those Rabbanon in the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, there's the expression Shtika Kehoda. Inaction, not speaking, that's also a statement. Bar Kamsa said, Shema Mina. It must be that those rabbis, by saying nothing, by doing nothing, it must not be such a big deal. Well, I have to tell you, it is a big deal. It is important. I told the boy's father that I would meet his son. That Monday, I told the child that he was wrong for what he had done, and that he caused me harm. I could have ignored him, but I didn't. I stood up this past Monday, and Emir Hashem, together with all of you, we will stand up again on July 16th. I will not be silent, and neither should you. We must all take action and make some noise and be heard. By doing so, may we be zoche, merit like Pinchas, to be granted the ultimate bracha, hineni nosein las bris shalom, a covenant of peace for Klal Yisrael and throughout the entire world. Amen. Good Shabbos.